Bab Tusamut Hofresh Vav, Seif Beis, indeed. Imeis Ashechotoloi, if the person that he did an Avera to was Nifta already. We're discussing the halachas that you need to ask Mechila from somebody you've hurt. So the same applies even if that person is deceased already. If that person is Nifta, you still need to ask him for Mechila. So imeis ashechotaloi, the person that you have offended, you have hurt, is nifta already. What do you need to do? Mevi asorob ne'odom, you need to call 10 people. Umamidom al kivroi, you need to get 10 people onto his keva. Ve'oima, and you say, chotosi l'olike Yisrael, I've made a chet and avera, not only to the Ribbono Shel'olam, ve'leploni zeh, but to this individual as well. Shechotosi l'olike, that I've sinned to. The meaning is to do this on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here that if a person has done, as hurt an individual, he's done two averas. He's done an avera, which is between him and that specific individual. But besides that, any avera which is ben Adam lechavera is also an avera ben Adam lemokim. So you need to, but you certainly still need to ask mechila from that person. The Shulchan Aruch also says, teaches us here, that if you have, even if he's deceased already, you still need to ask mechila from that individual. How do you do that? You go to his keva, to his burial site, and you ask mechila from the nifta by his keva. Very good. That's the 10 people you're taking along. You need to have 10 people. The Mishnah Berurah says, in Sifkot Nudalet, al kivoy tzerich leilech lesham yochef. You have to go bare feet. When you go to the base olam, if it's really, really far, it's 3 pasos away, which is really a far distance, then you can ask a shliach to do that on your behalf. So if it's really far, you don't have to go there yourself, you can ask a shliach on your behalf. And the shliach should take 10 people, and he should go to the keva, and ask mechila b'sheim ha-mecharev on behalf of the person who was the offender. Ve'oiman, it says, Hineni shliach ployni, I am the messenger, I'm the shliach, I'm the agent on behalf of that person who offended you. Moide berabim sheshlochuni ployni leimo shechotel leke Yisrael v'chulu. The shliach then says, I'm acting on the behalf of that individual and I'm asking mechila on his behalf. That's what the shliach is meant to do. It's interesting that shlichus actually works. Would you have guessed that shlichus works? Interesting. You can send somebody to ask mechila on your behalf. It works even by a nifta. Okay, so if Gimel Takonas Kadmonin V'cherem, it's an early decree Shloi Lehoitz Hashem Ro'al Amesim, that you may not say bad, speak bad about the Amesim of people who are deceased already. You may not. Yeah, it's an ancient decree not to speak bad about the niftorim. By the way, just in brackets, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to say, it's interesting that we keep asking Mechila, we ask Mechila generally on Erev Yom Kippur, we ask Mechila from people you don't need to ask Mechila from. But the real people that you really need to ask Mechila for, those we generally tend to shy away from them. The people that, you know, it's easy to ask Mechila from somebody, from your neighbor, from your friend. It's not hard to ask Mechila from those people, because you're friends with them. So you don't know, Ayumoychel, you know the answer in advance. But the people that you're really stuck with, that's really the challenge, that's the real mitzvah, and that people seem to sometimes avoid. Siv Dalet, Yochel Litpoel Vlilkois Mosashitzim. We're now moving on to the next topic, which is the topic of doing Tvila on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Mishneh Berurah makes a slight introduction over here in Sifkot Nudzayin, and he says, Amechabe Kitzer, the Mechabe over here is very short. The Mikoidem Ayol Lichtoiv, he should have started off saying, the Minig Litpoel Vlilkois Be'er Yom Kippur. He should have written first that there's a Minig, an ancient custom, Litpoel to Toivel Vlilkois, and to get Malkois. To get lashes, Be'er Yom Kippur and Erev Yom Kippur. That's the introduction. And then the Shulchan Aruch teaches us on that Yochel Litpoel Vlilkois Mosad Sheyirtzeh. You can't really do it at any time on Erev Yom Kippur. Rak Sheyeh Kodim Laila, just make sure that it's before Nacht. Ve'einu Mevorech Al HaTvila, says the Shulchan Aruch, and you don't have to make a bracha on this particular minik. Now, the Mishneh Berurah finishes off saying something really interesting. Ve'afilu Ne'orim U'Psulois, and even young men and Psulois, unmarried ladies, the Shu'ut, they also have the minhag of toivling, says the Mishneh Berurah. Mekimon shem bnei mitzvah is toivlo, since they're over bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, their minhag is, according to the Mishneh Berurah, that they toivle themselves, they go to mikveh as well. In many places, the minhag is that only married men, or just men over bar mitzvah, go to mikveh, and ladies do not. because he may be a mechshel, it may lead to potential problems if unmarried ladies go to mikveh. But men, the minhag has certainly been, and also boys over a mitzvah, the minhag is to go to that. Certainly, they have the minhag to go to mikveh. With regards to ladies, that depends on various minhagim or depending on the place. The Rama continues. You're only toivel yourself once. You go, you dip once. Below vidui, and you do not say vidui. Mishum kerin. The reason why you go into the mikveh is because of keri, because of Thomas keri, and that's one reason. The Mishnah Berurah adds another reason as well, that in Sivkot and Chof, he says Tumas keri for purity, for literal purity, that you go in and up, you have it purifies you from a potential tumah of keri. That's one reason. Mishnah Berurah a few lines down, says another reason of Yesh Omrim the Tam Atvilim Shom Tshuva. An additional reason which is mentioned in Mishnah Berurah why you go to mikvah on Yom Kippur is because of tshuva. It's a tshuva type of thing to do, to tovel yourself for tshuva, and that's the second reason why. The minig is to go to mikveh on Yom Kippur. V'adin da'atolas tish. I'm back into Ramah. V'adin da'atolas tish kavin ma'im nami mahani. Also, the pouring of 10 kabin of water also suffices. So you don't really have to go into mikveh. The pouring of tish or 9 kabin of water to pour over you, that actually would be sufficient as well. But that Mishnah Berurah says that depends on the reason. Because if it's for the reason of tumah, that may be true. But if it's for tshuva, it wouldn't help. Tisha Kavan doesn't help for tshuva. That's what the Mishnah Berurah. That's what the Achronim say. Continues the Imam. Misha Meis Loi Meis Bein Rosh Hashanah Liyom Kippur. Somebody who Rachmana Litzlan. Somebody is Nifta between. He's got is an oval between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Mutal Yechotz VeLitvol BeErev Yom Kippur. He may wash himself on Erev Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur and Vatal Shiva, because although he's within the Shiva, he's in the 7 days of mourning, but Erev Yom Kippur pushed away din avelas, and he's allowed to wash himself on Erev Yom Kippur. Afalpi, although, says the Ramah, shenagush lo lichotz kol shloshim, although the minhag is not to wash oneself for 30 days, tefillas mitzvah mutar, is considered a tefillas mitzvah, it's toveling for mitzvah purpose, and therefore it's permitted. Now let me ask you a question. We know that there's halacha, with regards to some tefillas, there's a halacha of chatzitza, that you have to ensure that there's nothing between you and the mikvah water. Does this apply as well for Tvilas Erev Yom Kippur, or does it not apply to Tvilas Erev Yom Kippur? In other words, what I'm asking is, do you have to make sure your nails are turned completely clean? Do you have to make sure that they are totally, have you ensured that there's no chatzitza in your body, chotzitzing your body and the mikvah water, or is that not necessary for Tvilas Erev Yom Kippur? What do you think?
I've been told that it's not such a hakpada.
Not such a hakpada.
Anyway, just in general, Erev Shabbos, which I don't know if this is, Erev Shabbos is more or less severe than this.
More or less severe than this, okay.
The stomach, it's. For men, it's never such a big deal.
You're saying that Pashtus shouldn't be a concern?
It's just a minhag, it's not like there's anything.
Correct, since it's a minhag, so on the minhag, there shouldn't be a hilchas chatzitza on a minhag. That's the claim. Yeah, what do you think? Chatzitza or no chatzitza? So therefore you should be makpil on chatzitza. Men should be makpil on chatzitza as well. Very interesting. The minhag is definitely not to be concerned about this. I think that most people are not particularly bothered about it. But the Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Chavav seems to be quite clear that you should be makpil on chatzitza. Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying that in Sivkot and Chavav. If you look at the last few words, I'm just skipping a little bit, but he says, since it's a mitzvah, he said there should be ideally no chatzitza for that particular tefillah, he says. Interesting, Mishnah Berurah, but it does seem to indicate very clearly that there should be no chatzitza for that tefillah, ideally, and it's therefore more severe than tefillas Erev Shabbos, or even tefillas Yom Tov, etc. I think many people are not makbet, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying, that one should chatchila be makbet. That means, basically, if somebody shaves, according to this Mishnah Berurah, it would seem to be appropriate to shave, or to trim, before you actually go to mikveh, because that would arguably consider the chatzitza as well. Interesting point. Yeah, I heard that once a while ago from somebody, and it's true. According to Mishnah Berurah, one should take a makpid lechayra.
Wow.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
It's part of your body, though,
no? Yeah, but if it's it could be.
Your body be chutzit itself.
It could. There is such a concept. If your mamash want to, if your mamash want to, it's probably a chumrah. But but there's definitely such a concept.
Can I have another question? This
yeah.
Tisha Kavan. I thought that when it came to Tevila, the Chachamim were Geizer Misakein that pouring water on a person, 3 lug of water is already enough to make them Tamei Midrabanan anyway.
Correct.
That actually it creates more Tamei rather than less Tamei.
Right, you're saying that it wouldn't be necessary at all.
I never heard of this. What is the whole...
The idea of 9 kavin.
Is it pouring over your head?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a...
Interestingly, so you're saying that why should it work?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is such a concept in the Tisha Kavan. Some actually want to explore the idea of maybe a shower. maybe it may work for Tisha Kavan. But I don't know enough details about that, what the maskana is. But I think Pashto doesn't work. Yeah. To use a hand as a... Yeah, that wouldn't be considered. What do you mean that?
Does it count? I put my hand on my head. Does it count?
For as a couple,
yeah.
as the concept of wearing a couple,
yeah.
The hand Mishnah Berurah says would not help.
But if you say
the hand would be considered.
If you say the body, can
you? Yeah, not like that. If it's a part of the body that you really don't want at the later stage, you don't want it to be part of your body at all. You're going to get rid of it. If that kind of concept exists, then it might be considered halachas chatzitza, but certainly not something that you want to keep part of your body. Okay, siv siman tov reish zayin. Seder avidu b'mincha be'ev yom kippur. We know there's a halacha of saying vidui on erev yom kippur. What is that all about? So the Shulchan Aruch teaches us in siv aleph the following: tzorich leizvadas b'mincha koydim sudam afsekes. One should do vidui b'mincha before sudam afsekes. Is that what you do as well?
Yeah.
Before on erev yom kippur. Yeah, we say vidui before sudam afsekes. When exactly? Says the Ramav Yochid Oimroi Achas Shegomar Tefila. So the Yochid says it after he finishes Shmoneh Esre. After you complete Shmoneh Esre, that's when the Yochid, an individual, that's required Shmoneh Esre, that's when you say it. And Shliach Tzibur is going to say it also at that point in the Tefillah. But the point of it is that Mincha, Erev Yom Kippur, just the quiet Shmoneh Esre, we say Vidui, and we will say it at the end of Shmoneh Esre. Where does that come from? Why do we say that Vidui at that point? Why do we say Vidui and Erev Yom Kippur? Where does that come from? That's very good. That's the reason Mishnah Berurah teaches over here. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Aleph, Kudim Sudam Afsekes, Shema Ya'ar Lo Dovar Kalkola, Mir Ben Incident May Happen, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Aleph, Basauda, in the middle of the meal, Sheikhanek, Yimei Sofaket, Rachman and Itzlan, Oshet Tidor Evdatoy, or something else, a bad incident may happen, Chas V'Sholem, Velo Yucha Leis Vadu Zachakach, and he won't be able to say the Vidui anymore later. And therefore, that's why we say Vidui, during Mincha, because something bad may happen later, which when anytime, so we want to at that point you want to clear ourselves, making sure that we end, you know, that we would have done. You're saying why do we only assume that by Mincha? Yeah. Okay, that's a good point. Maybe the second reason helps for that. It continues the Mishnah Berurah. V'yesh poiskim shesoivrim shetzorich leizvados kam acha achila kodim chasheicha. Some say that not only it's good enough to do vidui b'mincha, but additionally as well, you need to make vidui before nightfall. Do we do that? Says the Mishnah Berurah. It is appropriate to do this, to go according to this opinion as well. And that is the custom nowadays. That's what we say, tefillah zakeh. Do you remember the tefillah zakeh that we say before Kol Nidrei? Do you know the tefillah? Do you say that as well? Tefillah zakeh? The long tefillah before Kol Nidrei? Do you say that? Tefillah zakeh? Pardon? Yeah, it's quite small, yeah. It's quite small letters, yeah. It's a long tefillah before tefillah zakeh. Tefillah Zaka, and over there we actually say also Oshamnu. We also say Vidui there. And that makes sense to do it before, and that actually includes that Chumrah over here, because that's not nightfall yet, it's before Kol Nidrei. And this Tefillah Zaka includes Vidui as recommended by the Mishneh Berurah over here. Yeah. Why should we still? You're asking why should we be concerned that something may happen at that point?
Yes,
is that what you're asking?
Short term, I know anything has to show themselves.
Exactly. I think that's probably the answer that you're suggesting. That's probably what you're saying now is probably the answer that we are at this point. We are so concerned. We all want to be able to still, if Chas V'Shalom something happens, we still, although it's very unlikely. You're right that it's not very likely that something will happen, but just in case something would happen, we're just concerned about that potential case, and therefore we are going to say Vidui at this point as well. Although it's very unlikely, you're right.
Is it considered a particularly dangerous time, this period?
I don't think so. No, we don't find that it's considered a dangerous time. We don't find that it's considered a dangerous time, but we do just want to make sure that we enter to Yom Kippur the right way, and chas from something happens that we should have still have said Vidui at that occasion. Yeah. Could be as well. That's a nice point. That's a nice point. She says that maybe we are concerned that maybe we did something wrong with the meal, and therefore we want to say Vidui at that stage. Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There is, what time exactly do we say Tefillah Zaka? So Tefillah Zaka is the before Kol Nidrei. So Reb Shlomo Zalman is actually concerned about, he doesn't recommend one should say Tefillah Zaka before Kol Nidrei. He says one should actually say, Reb Shlomo Zalman says one shouldn't say at that point, because the following. Reb Shlomo Zalman says, although that's printed in the Machzorim, right? It's printed before Kol Nidrei. Reb Shlomo Zalman is a bit worried about it, because he says that during the Tefillah Zaka we say, we're accepting on ourselves the Kedusha, the holiness of the Yom Tov, of Yom Kippur. Right, that's what we say during Tefillah Zaka. Do you remember it? Do you know what I'm referring to? Yeah, and he says that if we say that, then we've accepted Yom Tov, we've accepted Yom Kippur. He says the actual Tefillah of Kol Nidrei should only be said, Kol Nidrei, the Shulchan Aruch teaches us later, the paragraph, the Tefillah of Kol Nidrei should be said before Yom Tov, before we have accepted Yom Tov. And therefore, once you've said Tefillah Zaka, you've accepted Yom Tov already, you're running into trouble with regards to Kol Nidrei. So although it's published like that, and it's printed in all the Machzorim in this order, Shlomo Zalman questions it a little bit. And he said, really, it would make sense to say Tefillah Zaka, which includes this point of accepting Yom Tov. He said, that really makes sense to do it, say it after Kol Nidrei, and not before Kol Nidrei, because once you've said that, it's Yom Tov already, and then the actual paragraph, the actual Tefillah of Yom Kippur, paragraph of Kol Nidrei, the actual Tefillah of Kol Nidrei, is he said once you've accepted Yom Tov already, and he said that's not really Lechat Chila. Why is that?
If he's recommending that we say it before Kol Nidrei, and he's also saying that you should take Kol Nidrei before Yom.
Yeah, so you're quite right, because the emissary is that the Shlomo Zalman was worried about it for many years until he found out the Chai Odom, who is the one actually who he's considered the main I can't call it author, but he was really one who made sure that people would say Tefillah Zaka. He says that Tefillah Zaka should be said, as you're saying, after Kol Nidrei. So that could very well be that where the Mishnah was coming from. You're right. Yeah. Yes. Yes, he does. Definitely, yes. I'm not sure if he mentioned that. I don't think he does. I think it's a Shlomo Zalman's chiddush. I believe so, yeah. Yeah. He probably says that once you say it before. I assume he said it before Kol Nidrei. Yeah. Okay. See, base. Ein tzorich lefared achet. A person that one does not need to specify an avera that one has done. Vim rotza lefared. And if a person does want to make doesn't want to specify the Avera, HaRishus Piyodu, you may do so. So when you say, HaShamnu Bagadnu Gazalnu, when you're saying, I've done an Avera, you don't really need to specify the Avera that you have done, but
you allowed to. Ve'im mitzvah de belachash, and if you are talking about quiet shemoneh esrei, nochen lefaret achet. If you are talking about, if you are referring to the quiet shemoneh esrei, it is very proper and very right to specify the aver you have done. And I think a moshel for that would be, when somebody
comes up to you and he says, I'm sorry about that. And it sounds very different, I think we'll all agree, than if he says, I'm sorry I stepped on your toe. I think it's much more value to an apology which has a specification of what actually happened. Don't you think so? If I say I'm sorry, it's not as choshov than if I say I'm sorry I stepped on your toe. Do you agree with that?
More personal.
There's more to it. Exactly, yeah. So also in Avera, when you ask Mechile from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you should also ideally specify the Avera you have done. Don't just say Chotosi, I have sinned. That's not good enough. It's okay, you're Yoitzer, but better yet is Chotosi. Correct. That's where it's coming from. That's right. That's precisely why we do that.
Yeah. It's a very good list.
Yeah, it's a very good list. Absolutely. Yeah, it covers some of our Averas. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, every time I'm shaking, I said, "Wow, it's a nachon, it's a emet."
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They were spot on. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you want to say something? Excuse me?
No, I was listening to what you were saying. Thank you.
Yes, Chayodom says, yes, one should. Although, as pointed out, that you have covered most of that, many of the Averis are covered by the regular Shamnu and Al-Khait. But if a person has additional ones, yes, it is appropriate to add them. Yeah, we do say that as well. We do say that as well, but again, ideally, if one can specify, it's even better. Yeah, okay. I'm continuing from the Ramor. But if one is davening loud, or you are the shliach tzibur, you are the chazan, when you're going over the tefillah again, you don't specify your averis in public. Don't the chazan over here saying chotosi? The chazan shouldn't be saying, I've done this aver and that aver, and that wouldn't be appropriate to publicly say all the averis that he has done. So, yes, you should specify the averis, but that's only if it's quiet and in private, and sign it between you and Hashem. But if it's in public, don't specify, don't publicize the averis you have done. He says that with regards to the chazan, he's allowed to say the al-chait, and the shamnu and al-chait, because that's not considered specifying the Aver as far as that is concerned. Why? Since everybody says it together, so it's true that, generally speaking, you shouldn't be specifying your Aver if you are the Chazan. But you are allowed to go through the regular standard Nusach of the Tefillah. You're allowed to do that because that's nothing wrong with it. You can't just go through the Nusach HaTefillah as printed in the Machzorim. Okay, that leads us to Seif Gimel. One should do vidoy meumad standing. Even if it's a second time round, that you have heard already the vidoy from the chazan, you still need to stand. This is a really important halacha. Really important halacha. Let me just finish the remark before the Mishnah Berurah. The remark says, "V'yachsev isvadim ashliach tzibur." You should again do vidu with the shliach tzibur. Ve'ikar vidu aval chatan aval avinu chatan. And the ikar vidu is aval anachnu, but us aval anachnu chatan, but we have sinned. Now let me just go back to the first point first. The point that he said the Shulchan Aruch is tzorich leisvadis meumad. When you do vidu, you must stand. What does stand mean? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Niyud, Me'umot, V'hach Yaveh Derech Hachnot Fei, it's considered more humble, U'mizvada Belev Shomen, wholeheartedly. If you're doing standing, you're, it's wholeheartedly. V'toiv She'yishchek Moi B'moidim, you should lean a little bit forward like you're doing B'moidim. V'lo Yismoich Al Dovo, don't lean on anything. She'im Yinotel Oysoi Dovo Yipol, that if you'd be taking away this object, you'd fall. And if you did lean on something, you may not be yoitze. So again, if I'm allowed to show you this, I'm allowed to do like this, as long as if this would be taken away, I wouldn't fall down. That's okay. But as long as I lean like this, in a way that this, if this stand would be taken away, I would fall, I wouldn't be able to catch myself, and I'd fall down. Mama's leaning on something like this, that if this object would be taken away, and immediately fall down, that's not considered standing, because you're not standing, because very good. That's a good question, actually, what you're asking. But let me just... The point is that if you'd lean on something, that if you'd probably fall down. Yeah, that's I think that's the right word. You'd fall down. That's not considered standing, because you need to come onto something else. You're not standing. And therefore, you wouldn't be yotze. I mean, Mishnah Berurah is in doubt as to whether you're yotze. What did you say? Very good. That's a very good question. What does he mean exactly? What does he mean exactly that if you would... that's a good question. I had this shaila for a while. I haven't got a psak on this. I'm not sure. What happens if you'd lean on something? Very good shaila. What happens if you lean on something that you'd be able to catch yourself and you wouldn't fall down? So I know this is fine. I know this is fine. Because if this object would be taken away, I won't fall down. And I know for sure that if it's really, I'm really leaning like this, and if it would be taken away from me, I'd fall for sure. That's for sure no good. The question is, what happens if you've got an object which is leaning like this? Now, if this would be taken away, I wouldn't actually fall down, because I would be able to catch myself, and I wouldn't actually physically fall down. What's the halacha then? I'm not sure. What do you think about that?
Disrespect.
It probably is, yeah. It probably is. It's not so respectful. It's true. It's true that there is some. It's not very respectful. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah Taka says. That it's not the chachno. You're right. But I'm not sure about Moshe's question. I haven't got a psak on that. I was wondering about that myself, actually.
Presumably, it's shot to somebody who is older and weaker and has been standing up a lot. I mean, by the time you get to Mincha or Nila, then it's taka hard. It's been standing up all day.
Right.
So you want to know what the Gedarim are, so that you can keep, you know, do it properly without. It might be impossible for a person. Is it better during Nila to lean slightly or to sit down?
Yeah.
So
the MSA is that the poskim, they paskin lemaisa, that b'di'evet you'd be yotze if you'd lean on something. And the step up, which is something which is not evident from the Mishnah Berurah, but many poskim say, b'di'evet if you did lean, but the evet your yotze. The step after that is that the poskim say, well, if that's the case, but the evet your yotze, so many poskim want to suggest, then if a person is an elderly gentleman, he finds it very hard to stand without leaning on anything, they want to say that if it's taka true that yotze but the evet, then it may be okay for them even lechatchila to do so. For elderly or weak people, they would be able to do that even lechatchila. But that is a question that's not so clear, but many poskim seem to agree that that would work for an elderly and a weak person. Yeah, and we'll stop over here.